So, Father, you're so good to us. We love you, Lord, and we exalt you, Lord, and we thank you for your presence and your place this morning. Father, be with us now as we go into our message. And, Lord, may we discern and may we hear and may we learn all that you have in store for us. And we pray these things in your mighty and holy name. Amen. So Brian asked a question in that. In a practical way, how do we get back to our joy? Well, this is part of it. We come here and we look around and we're family, guys. But sometimes we come in here and we treat each other like family. I'm glad some of you got that. But even in that, We have to be honest and open and transparent. And when we're filled with joy, let's celebrate it. Amen. When we're sad, hey, those that aren't, go pick that one up and help them through it. And guess what? That's what being a child of God. I couldn't help but think, too, you know, you talk about in the songs we sing and you talk about how people see you or view you, but when God sees you, he sees one of the most beautiful things in the world, and it's because he created us. Even Brian is beautiful. But we've already heard it. Exactly. But I want you to hear what's happening is the laughter that's going. You know, we come in here sometimes and we think church has got to be all this, and order and all those things has a place. But, you know, I don't know who's taught you to be just so prim and proper. It's okay. But if a spirit leads you to raise your hand or clap or laugh, or enjoy each other's company, guess what? That's okay, too. It's absolutely okay. And I've said this before, that when people outside of these walls, like when we do go and do outreach, right? People outside these walls see us cutting up and having a good time and being family with each other and laughing and just really enjoying life, that becomes effective, and it begins to wear on people in a good way, because they look and they say, man, them people's different, but boy, they're having a good time. And maybe they're on to something, you know. But hey, if they see us like we come in here sometimes, then it also has an effect in a negative way. So I think, sometimes we get stepped on our toes, but it encourages us. I'm glad he stepped on my toes this morning and reminded me of Revelation 2 that says, hey, you forgot your first love. What's the Bible tell us? Our first love ought to be God, right? So if we want to get joy back, how do we do it? We remember that. And then the practical ways is we let the love that he gives to us, right, go out of us into others. And I say this all the time. I love how God works. I really do. And Brian had sent me that. His script, if you want to call it that, what he was going to say for me to review a couple of weeks ago, thinking he would do that last week. Well, I wasn't thinking anything about his script when God gave me this morning's message. But he mentioned a couple of the reference scriptures I'm going to mention in his thing. So I'm a pastor of confirmation. I'm sitting there thinking, thank you, Jesus, for confirming this morning's message. Because it when it comes from multiple sources that I know love God and love Jesus, man, that's real. That's real in your face. Y'all know this saying? And y'all repeat if you do. Because if you've been in a church setting, you know this. God is good. And all the time. That's a call and response. That call and response is one of the most recognizable statements found in many churches today. And I don't know if you know the history behind where that came from. It came out of a psalm, okay? But it began to be used in our African-American churches. And it became a standard greeting in all of their churches, and then it flowed out of that into other churches. And I've heard it now for, most of my life. As pastors or even people just as a greeter, you know, they say, hey, God is good. All the time. All the time, God is good. Great word of encouragement, right? Well, the history, the psalm it comes from is Psalm 25:8. And it says this, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. I want you to focus on that first part. Good and upright is the Lord. The psalmist knew that God is good. It wasn't a question of whether he was good or not. He says, hey, God's good. And then use that word upright. And we'll talk about that here shortly. But this statement, this psalm serves as an affirmation of our faith. And it profoundly proclaims the truth that in every moment of our lives, God is and will always remain good. However, there's more to this statement than it being just a saying used to rally the masses around the cross. The reality is that God is good. And because of his sovereignty, he is good all the time. It does not matter what we might be going through, good, bad. It doesn't matter what's happening in our lives, again, good, bad, in every situation, under any and every circumstance, our Father is good. Now I want you to take note that the psalmist also considers God not to just be good, but to be upright. Well, what does that mean? It means that God is faithful. It means that he is true and he is trustworthy and he is faithful. In other words, because he is good, he's also consistent in fulfilling his promises to us. The goodness and love of God is constantly on display as he interacts in each of our lives. I mean, we've heard already just stories of God interacting in our lives. And he's good, y'all, all the time. Even in the bad stuff, even in the junk. It's hard sometimes to see it. But I promise you, God is always good, and he's always faithful. He's always upright. Second, because he is good to me, then it forces me to ask myself how to respond, right? We say God is good, God is upright, he's faithful, God loves us. But what's my response to that? My question to myself is, how am I going to respond to that, right? Well, his mercy, his compassion, his grace, his faithfulness, all of those, his love for us, all of those things require me to respond in some way. The short and simple answer to that question is love. God is good because he loves us, and in turn, we should reciprocate with our love for him. Y'all remember the commandment? Y'all probably heard me say this a bunch. Came from Jesus that tells us what? Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. He's quoting that out of Deuteronomy 6:10. Jesus is, right? Well, that's all God's asking us to do. Yes, he's commanding us to do that, but he's giving us that as a command. Why? Because he understands the importance of us reciprocating love back to him. I want to remind you this morning, too, of Paul's words from his prison cell, by the way, to the good people at the church in Philippi. He said to them from Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say what? Rejoice. If we truly love God in the same manner that he loves us, it doesn't matter what is happening in life. We can still make this true. We can still rejoice in that. We might not understand it. It might be difficult to comprehend. But man, we can find something to rejoice in. I was having a conversation about just how, you know, the world is right now. It seems like everywhere you turn, right, it's nothing really great in it. You know, gas price, well, they have come down a little bit. Gas prices go up. Food prices go up. You know, all the stuff that's just right in our face, it just, you look at, well, if you focus on that, what happens to your spirit? We go back to, again, right? So my encouragement in that is don't focus on that. Focus on the fact that as you stand right now, most of us have a place to live. We got a vehicle to drive. We got food to eat, right? We got clothes on our back. We have a job to go to. We have a school to go to. We have all these things in our life that when we boil down to it, they're really blessings. And now, I know what most of you are saying. I don't really like my job. I don't know if that's a blessing or not. Trust me, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. So as we talk this morning, as we go through this, we begin to garner this greater appreciation and understanding of this call of affirmation. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. But this morning, I want to ask you this. If someone asks you why, do you love God? Just walk right up to you and say, hey, ain't you one of them Christians, Janie? Of course, Janie's going to do, yeah, I'm one of them Christians. I'm crazy like the rest of them. And what if her next question is, Janie, why do you love God? Why do you love Jesus? How are you going to answer that question? What would you say? Go to Psalm 116 if you're in your Bible. We're going to put it on the screen. But the writer of this psalm answers that question by simply saying, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. And then you get that word because, right? And then he goes into explaining why he loves the Lord. I love the Lord. And then he says what? Because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Can I just stop and say amen to that? I believed even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I think I've said this a lot over the past couple of months. Embrace your salvation. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Boy, that's a hard statement to hear. But if you die a believer, you die a saint. Boy, that's precious. It's precious. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. And he ends it by saying, praise the Lord. He begins it by saying, I love the Lord. And then he gives us all these reasons why he loves the Lord. And then he ends it by saying, praise the Lord. There's an exclamation point there. I'm trying to control myself up here. Because if he was singing this or saying this, he would be shouting that to the top of his lungs after saying all the reasons why he loves the Lord. So I ask you this morning, if someone walked up to you and said, hey, crazy Christian, hey, Jesus believer, why is it that you love him? How would you respond? How would you respond? This psalmist, I think, gave us a pretty good list. In verses 1 and 2, we see that God is what? A great listener. He hears our pleas for mercy and for grace and for forgiveness and for compassion. In verses 3 through 5, we see that in our most desperate moments, God in his righteousness and his faithfulness, without a doubt, extends mercy and grace to us. In verse 6, you'll see that God preserves us. Now, I got some people in here that make preserves. You know what I'm talking about? They take the fruit, or they make jelly or something, you know. Why do you do that? Yeah, somebody's going to eventually take those crab apples and make some crab apple jelly, right? But why do you do that? Because it's good, right? But if you just leave it in its state that it's in, and there's an overabundance of it, what's going to happen to it? It's going to spoil. Well, guess what? If God leaves us in the state that we're in, our sinful state, right? What's going to happen to us? We're going to rot. So this psalmist says, you know what? God is good enough to save me from that. He preserved me from my rot. He keeps us fresh, and he keeps us renewed. He maintains us in our weakness. Guess what? One of the fastest ways that we can allow ourselves to rot is to continue in our sin. And when we continue in our sin, what you'll find out about yourself is you're living in a moment of absolute weakness. But God doesn't want that for you. He doesn't. He wants to strengthen you and preserve you and renew you and keep you from staying in that weakness. Verse 7, you'll see that God gives everything to us very generously. The psalmist here uses the word bountifully. He says he deals with us bountifully. Y'all have heard it this way: you can't outgive God, right? That's true. That's a truism. It's just a fact of being a Christian. It's a fact of loving him. It's a fact of following him. When you give to the Lord, guess what? He gives back and then adds to. Every time. Not just sometime, but every time. Why? Because that's the God that he is. That's the God that he is. But what does that say about us? We've been talking about we reciprocate the love he gives to us back to him. Well, guess what? If that same love is what's pouring outside of us, that means when we give, guess what we do? We don't just give to be given. We give, and then we give what? Just a little extra. The Bible says that God loves what? The cheerful giver. I'm not even talking about being happy that you gave. I'm talking about giving and being happy that you gave a little more. But here's the cool thing about it. God also tells us not let you what? Right hand. See what the left hand. You know what that has to do with our giving sometimes. Right? We give generously not so we can do this, right? Because God's not sitting up there going, look at all I've given you. Look at how awesome I am. No, we just know that, don't we? We just recognize that, don't we? Right? So when we give and we give over in abundance, God's just wanting us to do that out of obedience and out of our love for him and for no other reason. None whatsoever. After all, as this psalmist says here, he deals with us and gives to us bountifully. Verse 8 and 9, we get a glimpse of our reward for choosing and loving God. Because of Jesus, we're rescued from death. I want to say that again. Because of Jesus, we're rescued from death. This is going to sound bad. You know what death is? That means this old body right here is going to cease to do what this body was designed to do. And your spirit is going to exit this shell. And then this shell is going to be put somewhere to do what? To rot. But what's our reward? What's our rescue from having to experience that and go through that? Because of Jesus Christ, our reward and our rescue from that is that we're given eternal life. Where one day, it said in this psalm right here, we'll walk. I love it. We'll walk among the living. Now, I don't know about you. I don't like graveyards. So I ain't wanting to walk amongst the dead, but boy, I love the living. And my reward and my promise, we've already talked about it, God's faithful in his promises. My reward and my promise is that one day I get to continue to walk among the living. And you know what's even more than that? He gives us even more. He's there. We sang a song at the beginning. Because he lives. Guess what? He'll be there. Walking with us among the living. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ. In this psalm, we see the response of the author as he reflected on the goodness of God. He simply responded in praise by saying, I love the Lord. This morning, I ask you to take this same thing into consideration and respond to your Father in an appropriate manner. We love God, yes, because he is good, but also for many more reasons. You remember, if you were here at homecoming, Adam preached out of James. He didn't read this verse, but if you remember this verse, James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? Above. Things such as rain. Anybody like the rain? I don't mind the rain. I wouldn't say it's my favorite. Sometimes it puts a damper on things I want to do. But there are times when I walk outside and you can smell the rain coming. And it reminds me of God's preservation. Him giving me something fresh and something new. Because man, that smell of a fresh rain that's about to hit. Is that not good? That is good. What about the sunshine? After a monsoon month that we just had. Right? Speaking of rain, you walk outside and it's not raining and you look up and you see the fireball in the sky, the sun, is that not good too? Is it not good to walk out there and say, man, now the temperature's going to go back to 93 this week. You know what we're going to do? We're not going to light the sun, are we? We're going to say, man, somebody done turned it up again. But I promise you, the sun is good. The sun is good. What about things like, I don't know. Cooler temperatures. I told Phil when he walked in, I said, that's a fall shirt. I said, you bring the temperature and the fall with you. I like it. What about our food? Anybody find goodness in food? You can look at me and tell I find a lot of goodness in food. What about friendships or jobs or families? And I could go on and on, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All those things are blessings from a good and loving Father. Every one of them. Mm-mm-mm. We love God because he never breaks a promise. God has promised to save us. Y'all know this, John 3:16. Everybody knows that, right? I've said this many times here, but we leave 17 and 18 out, but we got to stop doing that. I know you've memorized 16. You've heard it your whole life. Go memorize 17 and 18 and put it with it, right? But what does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's the promise. And what does 17 and 18 say, though? For God... Which one's first, Brady? You messing me up. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be what? Saved. Through who? Him. Who's the him? Jesus, his son. Keep going. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already. Whew. Can I just explain that real quick? You get a choice. You either choose him or you don't. God's not condemning you. When you decide not to choose him, you bring that condemnation on yourself. God ain't sitting up there going, well, poof. Nope, God's sitting up there going, why won't you just give in? Why won't you just love me back? because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. God's promise is to save us. And with our salvation comes a reassurance of the gift which awaits us. James 1:12 says we are promised the crown of life. We get to walk among the living. Hey, God, don't you just love how good God is that he gives beyond just giving you eternal life? It says you're going to be walking among the living, and while you do it, you're going to have a crown of life on your head. In other words, you're going to get there, and God's going to give you the best that he's got in that moment. And you get to wear it and live in it for eternity. First John chapter 2, 24 and 25 reminds us that our enduring faith comes with the reward of eternal life. Let's look what it says. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. We love God because he's gracious. We love God because he's merciful. We love God because he fulfills every promise that he makes, to include eternal life. We love God because he does this for everyone, especially the undeserving. Aren't you glad that God is so good? Can we say it one more time? God is good. And all the time. And I'm going to close this morning by reading a passage out of Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 10. If you want to go there, that's fine, or it'll be up here. And you were dead in the trespasses and sin. I'm going to pause. And you were dead in your sin, in your trespasses. In which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, don't y'all love that? But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, I love it, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Can I say that again? By grace, you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Whew. If you read that passage and don't walk away loving God, you got a hard heart. And I'm just being honest with you. But that don't mean it's over for you. Because there's no better spirit to soften a hard heart than that of the Spirit of God. If you'll let him. If you'll let him. I meet lots of people that feel unloved or feel lonely. But they don't have to. You might be here this morning. You might feel that same way, but you don't have to leave feeling that way. God really does love you. I mean, who really does love you? He loves you so much, he gives you the keys to heaven. I mean, you're going to get there, and he's going to give you the best. He's going to give you all he's got, and you're going to walk in it every day. For eternity, if you choose him, and you really want that for your life. So I ask you one more time, If somebody walks up to you and says, why do you love God? How are you going to answer that question? I hope you can actually answer that question. That's my hope for you. Mm-mm. We're going to play a song here at the end. And this is a little bit different too. But it's okay. But I want you to listen to this song. It's a little difficult to sing along with unless you're a bluegrass singer. But listen to the words of the song. My desire for you this morning is if you don't know God, hey, let's fix it. If you don't love God, let's talk about it and let's find a reason why you can love God. I mean, I give you a bunch this morning. But you need to come to that realization yourself. So as the song says, hey, if you need to come up and talk to me or pray with me, or you just need to come up and pray. Hey, if you're uncomfortable and don't want to come up, just sit where you're at. God will hear you right there just like he does right here. What I'm saying to you is don't leave here without doing business with the Father. Hey, if you know you're saved, but you might find yourself with a lack of joy, right, or a lack of purpose, hey, go back and read these scripture, man. God loves you, and there's lots of reasons to love him back. Embrace it. Embrace your salvation. Embrace him. Do business with God as you listen to this song. Amen. Anybody want to go to heaven? That's where I want to go. I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. Next week, we're going to finish our series on the Psalms. We didn't get anywhere close to all 150 of them. And we didn't get anywhere close to doing them all justice. But I want to ask you to help me next week. If you have a favorite verse from a psalm or a favorite psalm. Now, if you come in here with Psalm 119, we'll have to pick. But I would love for you, I absolutely would love for you to participate next week in next week's service by sharing with us a verse, two verses. You know, if you go to Psalm 117, it's only two verses. But whatever is your favorite psalm through the years, if you don't have one, hey, go start reading through. And if something jumps out, the Spirit gives you something. And come prepared next week to share that with us. If you're not comfortable sharing it, you can write it down and give it to me, and I'll share it for you. Okay? Because I don't want to make you uncomfortable. But, man, we're going to end this psalm series by just praising God and thanking God. And acknowledging the fact that he is, as we've said this morning, so good to us. He loves us, and he's filled with mercy, and he's filled with grace, and he's filled with compassion and forgiveness. And all those things that we talk about, that's his nature. He's that way because he loves us. He's that way because he loves us. Let's pray, and then we'll roll into our business meeting in about 2 minutes. Father, we thank you again for this day. Father, we love you. We thank you for your words today. God, you've encouraged us. You've encouraged us, if nothing else, if we're not filled with joy, just to quit focusing on all the junk and all the stuff and turn our hearts and our minds to you. And God, may we focus on your goodness and on your mercy and your grace and your love. God, just thank you for pouring yourself into us today in this place. We love you, Father. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your work. And we pray all these things in your mighty and holy name. Amen.